Good morning, 6:52 a.m. on August the 11th, Monday morning. 6:52, yes. I'm up and out and moving this morning. I set an alarm. I didn't need it because I woke up in time. 17:15 on the first half. Okay. Yeah, I was moving along pretty sharply in the first mile because I was cold. I came out in my t-shirt and jeans this morning and it's 60 degrees. It's more like 58. And it's chilly. I'm loving it. But I walked real hard for the first, I don't know, quarter, half mile or so just to try to build up a little body heat, and it's worked. So, yeah, I don't have anything to talk about this morning. I really don't have anything to talk about this morning. There's an interesting piece crossed my desk about the Hachette kerfuffle with Amazon. And it talks largely about the Amazon strategy, which is actually their position is pretty weak, according to this guy, because the margins are so low. And they're keeping the margins low, so they'll keep the large tech companies like Google and Apple and Microsoft out of the space. Even though they have bookstores, they're basically keeping them out of the space. By keeping the margins so low that it's not worth their time to actively pursue it. The reason the way they do that is by setting up systems whereby they heavily discount Tradebook, the bigs, and pay them the full price at the agreed upon margins while discounting them. Which on the one hand makes me wonder, what the hell is Hachette fighting about? They're getting the improved sales due to lower prices because they're being discounted. They're getting the margins that they agreed to in their contract. And so the sticker prices are still artificially high, but Hachette is collecting whatever the margin is. I think the piece in the article that I differ with has to do with his assertion that the bigs are getting 70% margin on books above $10. And that Amazon needs those books because they sell. And I don't think, well, see, I have no data, so I can't tell whether the first one is true. I don't know what their contract terms are. Whatever they are, I'm sure part of this negotiation revolves around Amazon wanting to change them, lower them, cutting into Hachette's profits, which I can understand Hachette not wanting to do. But, it also underscores the reality that I'm really, really, really not sure Hachette understands the nature of the marketplace. Because what they're doing is they're discounting a price for a unit item that costs them less than a penny to produce. Less than a penny. All the costs that go into producing an ebook are sunk with the paperback production. And I'm still convinced that Hachette's position is based on propping up their paperbacks and hardcovers based on a model of cannibalization. And that's that if they offer a unit in an alternate format at a lower price, buyers will buy those first. And while that's true, I think the level of cannibalization might be misunderstood. Because I think just like mass market paperbacks, people would wait a year or more for the mass market paperback to come out, because that's what they could afford. And likewise, people are waiting for the ebooks to come down in price, and they do eventually. I've seen some of Jim Butcher's works at $8.99, $7.99. Lois Pujol's books. She's actually selling some of her older titles under her own banner now. So that's kind of cool. I can actually get Miles Rakosigan books for less than $10. Which is really kind of quick, kind of sweet. I'll have to go through my catalog and see what I've got. Fill in the rest. Unfortunately, I think I've got them all. I don't know. Some in the middle that I haven't actually gotten to, so I have to go look. At any rate, that's an interesting alternative perspective on the argument that Amazon's position is relatively weak, and I don't think it's particularly strong, but I think I almost agree with the guy that they're balanced on a knife edge in terms of maintaining profitability, which they don't actually have. Actually losing money. They're not losing very much money, that's the thing. And I'm not convinced that they're not juggling the books a bit to make it look like it might be losing more than perhaps they actually are, in large part because of acquisitions. Part of their losses are attributed to a lot of the acquisitions that they've made or are making or will make. Their publishing branches are the ones that I would look at, because they're not doing all that much better than the regulars and the bigs. And I think part of that is because they hired people who manage big publishing to manage their publishing arms. And they still don't understand social. And they're still using their deep pool of big data in ways that aren't all that helpful. At least from all observations. Perhaps they are using it in ways that aren't visible to the public, but the recommendation engine needs a lot to be desired. Books I downloaded a sample for, they keep recommending, even though I never finished reading the sample, something which they should know. If you start the sample and you don't finish the sample, there's probably a reason. And recommending books on the basis of that is a little bit questionable. Sure, you looked at this and you was interested enough to buy a sample. Now, how about this other book? No. Now, to be honest, I'm not sure that that's what they're doing. I can't track a recommendation to a sample. I do know that they regularly recommend my own books back to me. Now, it's not like it's a different email address. It's the same one that's on my KDP page. And yet they send emails to that email address suggesting that I might want to buy the book. And that I'm sure that's entirely based on one factor, and that's that I looked at the product page. And they're just reminding me that, oh, you looked at this product page. Did you want to buy it? I think that's probably the rationale. It's a bit problematic. I could be wrong. That's the thing, is that I'm perfectly willing to be wrong. I'm wrong quite regularly. Logic has a bit of a odd spin in my brain sometimes, so I don't necessarily see all the steps which means I'm prone to make errors on intermediate steps. Which is another probably nicer way of saying I'm prone to jumping to conclusions. Post. So yeah, in spite of the fact that I keep saying I don't know why anybody is really in the indie community is really interested in this, I find myself talking about it and thinking about it more and more. And mostly it's from the perspective of, really? Seriously? Do we really care? I think that's the other part of it. I think that's the part that this guy who's talking about the bigs and their margins and what they do for Amazon. I think that's the part that he's missed. Because for mainstream publishing and the people who follow it, indie publishing is dark matter. They know it's out there, and occasionally they observe in some of its influence, but I don't think they appreciate the depth to which it extends or the degree to which it contributes to Amazon's bottom line. They're looking at, oh yeah, well, 99-cent book, how much money can that be making Amazon? Really quite a lot. Because there are really a huge number. And some of them are actually selling in reasonable numbers. I mean, the box set, Myth, Magic, and Mayhem, it has Ravenwood in it. It's a box set of first books in series. So you buy this book and you get the first book in seven different series from seven different authors. Ravenwood is one of them. And David Del Glesh's book is one of them. I think Daniel Aronson is in there. So there's seven books. It's odd that they're all male authors. And Tanith is the only female lead. So it's kind of a sausage fest, but in spite of that, or maybe because of it, I don't know. That box set, since we started the promotion, and apparently it's going to go through October now, that box set has sold over 30,000 copies. So, you know, 30,000 copies times 70 cents for what is basically a promotional item from us, added on top of all of the other books at 99 cents that Amazon cheerfully shovels out. Well, something on the order of 2.5 million titles in ebook now on the Kindle. And while the vast majority of them, like 999,000, don't sell anything at all, another 99,900 sell moderately. And in the top 500,000 titles, they move a decent number. Of course, they're all at not 99 cents, so that's one of the things. But the idea is that that's a pretty big subsidy. Particularly when you consider that, according to author earnings, indies are outselling, on a unit basis, the bigs. As even with the discounting, it's even with all of the current situation in the marketplace, the indies are outselling the bigs. I know I outsell regularly some of the bigger titles in terms of gross rank. Of course, they get higher on the popularity charts because they're expensive, so they get better visibility. I don't care. That seems like actually a reasonable metric. Higher priced book sells not quite as many, then it's probably more popular. I can buy that. But, you know, the other side of it is I'm not I'm not striving for the popular, I'm striving for the niche. And I have to get my butt in gear in order to service that niche, because it's been several months since I've actually released a book. Luckily, I'm making progress. I'm feeling significant progress. The actual words on page are slow, but the key element for me is not the number of words on a page today, or the number of pages, words on a page that I put on the page today, but it's the mental state that allows me to work ...10,000-word days. It's not what I would call writer's block. It's not waiting for my muse. It's a mental condition. It's an ability to commit. And when I started the month, I thought I was ready to commit to 5,000 words a day, and that's clearly not the case, because I haven't gotten anywhere near 5,000 words a day all month. I haven't even written every day all month. Familial requirements have been a bit heavy all month, so it's been difficult to find that commitment. It's been difficult to be able to brush aside the demands, some of which are self-imposed, I will freely admit, and perhaps many of them are self-imposed, but the ability to brush them aside in order to focus on what I need to do is, it's been difficult, on some days impossible. Sort of like the other day when I went, it was noon before I really understood that the morning had started. They just got away from me. This morning I'm up, I'm moving, I'm really groggy, I'm really, really not awake. I've had another terrible night. It was late taking my pills, so the medications didn't kick in until much later than normal, and the falling asleep conditions, shall we say, were less than optimal, with a cat that thought it was great sport to rattle something on the dresser and then jump down and hide under the bed where we couldn't reach her. 18:12. We're getting there. Slowly, but we're getting there. Maybe I should switch from Oingo Boingo Radio back to my dance pop Lady Gaga channel. See if I can't get a little more blood pumping. So anyway, that's the way it looks from here. I'm still shaking my head over why does anybody care in the indie community. Why does anybody care about what Hachette does, other than if they manage to, Amazon manages to lower the prices, then we'll have some additional price level competition. But beyond that, I'm not sure I care. However, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.